What's up, golfers? It's Mac here from On the Screws Podcast, and it is the best week in golf. The Masters are here, and we've got our annual preview chat with Bob Weeks from TSN. If you're watching the coverage north of the border, Bob is the guy that you're watching on TSN right now. He gives us a full breakdown of everything that you need to know running into the Masters. He's live on site right now. To celebrate the Masters, Full Wedge has dropped a new collection, the Magnolia Polo AZ Knights, and the teal elevated and the off-white elevated hoodies. Go over to fullwedge.com. You can use the promo code OTS to get 20% off, and you can shop the new collection in both men and women's sizes and fits. Fullwedgegolf.com using the promo code OTS. Enjoy the Masters.
How are things going for you, Bob? How's everything?
Life's good. It's busy. This is always the busiest time of the year, primarily because the Masters is the biggest thing we do, and lots of curling stuff as well, which is, I think I'm over the hump on the curling. They're just finishing up now with the World Championships as we're recording this. So it's been busy time though. Always good to get prepped up for the Masters.
Do you have a preference, Bob? Are you like, if you had to pick one sport or the other, say you can only curl or golf or cover golf or curling for the rest of your life, is there one?
Oh boy.
One more than the other?
It would probably be golf, although they both have their benefits. As I always like to say, you know, the only thing is they don't usually have PGA Tour events in, in Timmins or in Regina in February. So not that those are bad places, actually. They can be pretty fun in February as well, as the Briar was this year. But it's a tough decision. It really is a tough decision.
It definitely would be. But I think the weather at Augusta, especially with what we're going through here last night, getting on a plane, you're getting on a plane tonight or tomorrow?
Getting on a plane on Sunday morning.
Okay, right, so Sunday morning, kind of getting out of here. They've unofficially opened up the golf season here. That's kind of what the Masters does for us here, I guess. But, you know, with everything that we've gone through in the last couple of days, I think we're in a tough spot. We're in a tough space. Bryce is here. Bryce, I don't know, or Bob, I don't know if you've met Bryce. We're doing it on the fly here. I don't know if you guys have met before. Bryce is usually, yeah, I think, in hockey playoffs, I think, when we do this. So, but he's just kind of coming in. So, Bob, do you mind, are you able to just kind of give us like an intro, for anybody who hasn't caught our pods in the past, can you give us kind of an intro of who you are?
Sure. I am I'm a senior reporter and golf analyst for TSN. And I've been covering the game for, I guess, 37 years now. This will be my 20. I was actually trying to look it up before I came on here to determine if it was the 28th or 29th Masters that I'll be attending. But I can't fully remember that. And I'm on Golf Talk Canada. I'm on SportsCenter. I'm on TSN.ca, both written and in with my lovely mug up there. And it's been a pretty good ride.
That was one of my questions, was how many, I don't know if I've asked you that, how many times you've gone down to Augusta. So we think somewhere in the high 20s.
We're closing in on 30. I'll have to check it out after this. I always get mixed up, but I know this will be my 89th major championship that I've covered. So that's pretty good. The first Masters I went to was in 1993. Bernard Langer won.
Right.
And it was a much different golf course. It was a much different tournament. It was a much different facility. We used to get, there used to be a barber shop. We used to go and get our hair cut at the barber shop at Augusta National. And, it's grown, and I would have to say it's grown in a good way. I think there's a lot of people there. They've kind of moved themselves into, a more modern, presentation. I guess, you know, the old days, all you used to see was the back nine, really. You never saw the front nine on the broadcast on CBS. So, now you can see every player hit every shot if you want on online in some way, shape, or form. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool how far they've advanced over the years that I've been there anyway.
Yeah, just a little plug for TSN Plus. I just picked that up in the last little while, and it you can follow.
I forgot about that one.
Four different groups good. At a time. So TSN Plus, it's a good option if you're looking to cover, or well, it covers golf every single weekend. It's awesome. So if you're one of our Canadian listeners, I guess, Bryce, do you guys do TSN? What is it?
We got everything's ESPN over here. ESPN. So we got ESPN Plus, and I can pretty much do featured holes, featured groups, main feed. Pretty much, I can pretty much see mostly every guy hit every shot. So I'm pretty sure if you really want to get into it, you can pick your certain guys and get every single one of their shots if you want to go that in depth into it. But it's pretty good with ESPN here in the US.
So I was saying, yeah, TSN Plus is impressive. Like the coverage now, they'll have like, you know, I was watching the Players Championship, so they had like the 11th, 12th, 17th hole or featured groups, things like that. It's really, really impressive. So, Bob, what's your role like when you go down to TSN or down to, sorry, Augusta with TSN? What's your role when you're down there?
So it's the biggest broadcast we do for all year. We have a crew of about 10, which doesn't sound like much, but considering our normal crew is three, that's it's pretty big. And what we do is we actually have our own set. We have a building there. We've got a set established, same set every year, although we upgrade it. And we were the first broadcast company. Now, there, when you get down to Augusta National, there's CBS, obviously, and then there's everybody else. All these different nations have contracts. And you sit there, and it's sort of like the United Nations. That they have this massive international broadcast center that's hidden away. It's actually on the other side of Washington Avenue, which is the main drag. And they built a tunnel that you can go underneath. That's how much pull they have over there. But you know, you've got the United States, you've got Sky Sports, you've got ESPN's there, you've got Sweden, you've got Tokyo Broadcasting System, which has a major presence there. So we're in a little building that has four sets in it. It's at the back of the driving range. There is ESPN, Sky Sports, Golf Channel, and us. And we were the first network that the Masters, the Augusta National people allowed to have multiple streams. So one of the first companies that had TSN 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And they allowed us to put their five digital feeds over the air, which it sounds a little complicated, but essentially you could used to be able to watch it in the early days on your computer, a very rough viewer of it. But we had, for instance, the feature holes on TSN 1, and we had we would have feature groups on TSN 2, Amen Corner on TSN 3. And we would bounce back and forth between these four channels that we had. And Graham Dillette, it has been Brad Fritch, it has been David Hearn, but now it's been established for Graham Dillette for the last few years. James Duthie and I sit on this set basically 6 hours a day and kind of fill in the gaps, as it were, on the broadcasting. We're not actually calling the play-by-play, but you might see Corey Connors hole out a shot, and then they would come back to us on the set, and we would talk about it live. Right. Graham would talk about his experience of playing in the Masters. I might talk about some statistics or something, and James would lead us. So we're actually floating. It's quite an onerous week because you're floating between four different channels and trying to follow them all at the same time and be knowledgeable enough to comment on them on the same time. And then we have our regular, we have a 1 hour rap show every day. We have Sports Center hits and various other things throughout the day as well.
Saying the earpiece must just be on fire. Like, yeah. Just nonstop in the ear, just telling you like kind of where they're going and what they're doing. But
exactly.
So for the media coverage, one of the questions that's come up a lot on social media lately is, you can get into the ballot to try and play. Have you played before?
I have. Okay. So there is, you put your name in and there's a draw. And it took me 19 years to get drawn finally. But I finally did in 2014. And after that, you're not eligible for seven more years. Now, James Duthie was the year after I was. And we were talking about, should we bring our clubs down again? And in some cases, we sort of thought, you know, that one and only experience maybe something special. So I don't know if we're going to bring our clubs down this year or not. We have to decide pretty quick, I guess. But it isn't a remarkable experience. You show up on Monday. They have the Sunday pins still there. You get a caddy. They take us up into the champions locker room. I got to use Mike Weir's locker. You go down on the range and you meet your caddy down there. You warm up a little bit and then you play. And it's the most remarkable experience that you've ever had. It's member tees. So you're not playing a very long, maybe 6,300 yards.
Right.
But for me, it was the first round of the year being in April. I hadn't played since basically October. So it was a little rough, but you find your game pretty quick. Although you realize just how tough a golf course it is, especially on the greens. I mean, if it didn't have a caddy there, I'd be five putting every green.
I can't imagine. Even on TV, like I know, most of the time when you're watching it on TV, it doesn't really do it justice with how undulating some of the greens are. But I feel like Augusta, because it's so undulating on the greens, you can actually see it pretty, like not well, but you can see it more than other courses on the TV. That's for sure.
Yeah. The day before I played on the Sunday, I was chatting with Brant Snedeker and I said, you know, do you have any tips for me? And he said, Yeah, he says the one thing everybody thinks about is just how quick the downhill putts are. But what they forget is how slow the uphill putts are, because the slopes are really steep. I mean, I don't know if you could build those greens today and have a membership accept them, because they would be, probably be 7 hour rounds.
Well, it's also grain too, right? We don't really get that up in Canada too often, but the grain will really hurt you down there too. If you're putting uphill into the grain, it's going to be twice as slow there. And if you're saying downhill down grain, it's going to be lightning fast. And I know even in Michigan, it's not too prominent, but I know in Canada, it's not prominent either. We don't really have to deal with too much green. So,
right.
What do you think about the Canadians in the field this year? You think we're going to have a strong showing this year, or kind of?
Yeah.
I know Corey's just 2 under today in Texas, and I know he likes to play there. So what are your thoughts on the Canadians this week?
Well, I would say that this is as good a chance as we've had since Mike Weir won the Masters in 2003 of a Canadian slipping on the green jacket. These guys coming in here are all playing very well. I mean, Nick has shown what he's done with the RBC Canadian Open win and the Phoenix win, and how he just loves being in the big situations. Adam and Corey are both playing very good golf, although they haven't been quite as high on the finishing leaderboards as I think they would like. I think you're going to see a little bit more. From both of them. Mm-hmm. The only thing with Nick is his record in major championships isn't all that great. He's missed the cut in the last 5 majors he's played in, and he's only played 1 Masters, and that was the 2020 Masters, which was the famous pumpkin spice latte Masters, which was held in November. And they he didn't get the full ride, so I think he's going to enjoy it quite a bit. But they're legitimately, those three are playing great golf. They're going to play a practice round with Mike Weir on Tuesday. Mike called and set that all up for them. And they've got a big year. You know, it's not only just the majors, but they've got the President's Cup and they've got the Olympics going on. So I think all of them are really dialed in on their games and really trying to focus on playing some good golf.
Well, yeah, I think it's like a massive year for these guys with the President's Cup this year. Like, I think they're all trying to show, and Nick Taylor's debatably the hottest putter on the planet in the last little while, for sure. So I think that they'll be, we might add Scottie Scheffler in that conversation until 18 last week, but I think there'll be a better showing than what we've had. We talk about Corey Connors every time, Bob, when you and I have had this chat, it's always kind of Corey Connors is an elite ball striker, one of the best on the planet, and he'll be right there likely. It's if he putts well, he's going to probably be like in the top 10 just from that. And then if he rolls some in, then we might be looking at that. And obviously with Nick Taylor, the way he's playing, I'm curious to see how Adam Hadwin plays. His game's always really crisp. But I have to ask you about Tiger. You got any thoughts on Tiger? Can we see it again?
Well, I've made the mistake of ruling Tiger out numerous times in my career and I had to eat the table afterwards. I guess it's, I think even he would admit that it would be a bit of a longer shot for him to play. But the one round we've seen him play this year at the Genesis where he wasn't throwing up, that was in the first round, his game looked pretty good. It looked more rusty than anything that I would call kind of laborious. Like, I don't think there was a physical thing keeping him from swinging well, but he's played one round. So, right. I don't know what you make out of that. He does, let's face it, he's got more local knowledge around Augusta National than probably all the membership there combined. So he does have that going for him. I think it would be just miraculous to see him make the cut and maybe get his name on the leaderboard come Sunday at some point. But I think the days of Tiger and the big charges are probably over. Even, aside from the fact that he is, he's beaten up, his body is being held together by paper clips and duct tape, he's also 48. He's not getting any younger. So we'll see what happens you can never rule him out, but boy, it would be a long shot for him to even really get in the serious hunt on Sunday.
Oh, and I'm going to jump on top of that a little bit. Not so much with Tiger, but I want to know your thoughts on Brooks. I mean, he shows up on almost every major championship, and now that he's not really playing in the PGA, he can't really show his stuff against the PGA players. What are your thoughts on him coming in and showing up and putting a low number out there?
I like Brooks a lot in this week. I think he's got a lot of game, a lot of confidence in his game. The trouble with the LIV guys is that you don't know how they're playing because you don't see them play. It just seems that Brooks, though, is able to raise his level of play when it comes to the four majors and maybe anything else that's sort of major, like a Ryder Cup or something like that. But he just, it's just amazing. He finished, you know, second last year, and then he wins the PGA. So he certainly knows Augusta National. And he said, you know, he made one mistake coming on the backside, one decision mistake, not like one shot, but one thing he did that really kind of ended his chances. And that's what he didn't do when he went to play at the PGA Championship. But I think the other thing about him is he's kind of intimidating. If you got down the stretch with him, you know, he's pretty confident. He's pretty cocky, not in a mean way, but just, you know, like he sort of says, I'm going to make this shot. So if you want a chance, you're going to have to make your shot. And that goes a long way too.
That's one of my favorite parts about Brooks' game is just like when he's playing well, you know, like we watched kind of Full Swing, like first season, he talked about how he lost his confidence, whatever it was. But when he's playing well, like that swagger, like if you will, it's so fun to watch a player of his ability, like know he's going to hit that shot, kind of call it and just, you know, he just battles out there. Like him and Rahm were battling last year, right? But now I think I was looking up earlier, I think it's four of the top six. There was a T4 there. I think Russell Henley and Spieth were the only guys that would be in the top five anyway last year from the PGA champion or PGA Tour versus LIV, with even Phil having a good run last year. John Rahm obviously kind of moving over. Anybody else, Bob, that you're kind of, I watch and listen to Golf Talk Canada all the time. Like I know you guys kind of predominantly cover more of the PGA Tour. Is there anybody that you're like really looking forward to seeing maybe step up this year?
I got one, but I'm going to let Bob go first.
Okay. I'll give you two names, one from each tour. And I think a guy who's kind of been underrated this year because he hasn't won, but he's had a ton of good finishes and he played well. He's played well before at Augusta National, Xander Schauffele. If you look where he is, he's had, I don't know, five or six top tens, something this year. You know, he was right there at the Players Championship. And I know he's been making a few swing changes, but I think he's a good guy to look at. And on the other tour, I would say Joaquin Neiman.
Yeah, that was
good. He hasn't had great finishes at Augusta. I think he was tied for 16th last year, but he's got a great game for it. And he has played well on LIV for means. You know, he's won a couple times. So I don't know if that means anything in terms of where it be. It's just so hard to kind of figure out where the LIV guys are with their games. But I like those two guys.
Me too. I'm going to kind of jump onto that too. Like it's hard to tell like how they really are playing over LIV. But me personally, I think with the amount of talent that's kind of gone over there and the amount of big names they have now, it's almost kind of, you can kind of compare it a little bit to the PGA to where if they're winning over there, I mean, I think it's pretty good enough to say that the talent's pretty similar, or if not just below it, where if they're winning over there, I think it's kind of going to show they can win kind of wherever. And if their game's that good at that moment, I mean, I think it's hard to look past them.
It's just a little bit disconcerting when you see them playing a 6,700 yard golf course one week.
Yeah, I agree.
And those kind of things, but I don't take anything away from them. I think some guys work hard. Some guys I've heard one prominent guy who's basically spends most of his time fishing now than rather than golfing, but that's what happens when you get a big check. So I think though there's something to be said. You can't count those guys out just because they happen to play on LIV.
Correct.
Yeah. And we've said that so many times, like the ball's got to go in the hole. Bryce and I say this like almost each week when we're talking with, like we talk with a lot of NCAA players or like some of the PGA Tour America's players now, but the ball's still got to go in the hole. Right. And there's still a level of competition and, you know, Bryson shooting a 58, still a 58. It's still, you know, maybe the course isn't as difficult as some of the others, but it's still 58, right? Any of the amateurs in the field this week, Bob, that you're tracking and kind of looking at?
No, okay. Not really, actually. I mean, listen, the amateur players these days are very good and they come into these tournaments, but it's a big step up. You know, when you play, and it's even a big step up from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to Thursday morning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember talking to Corey Connors. He played as an amateur. In fact, he got drawn to play with Mike Weir when he was an amateur here. And he said he was so nervous on the first tee and he shot 80 the first round. He came back. I think he shot either par or maybe just a little under par in his second round, but it's a tough go for those guys though. You know, look at a guy like Nick Dunlap and how well he has played, amateur. So you can't take anything away from them. Sam Bennett last year.
That's kind of where I was going with that one is there a chance we see another Sam Bennett? And I was thinking Nick Dunlap might be that guy. But yeah, what a, what a tough course to kind of.
Yeah, it's a big step up for those guys, but it is always fun to see one or two of them get in the hunt, at least even if it's on Saturday, but to put themselves on the leaderboard.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. And like, I know Sam Bennett slipped a little bit last year on Sunday, but man, that was fun. It was kind of electric. One of the topics that has been kind of floating around golf in the last few weeks has been, last week really, since Rory said it, is, you know, 20% viewership down, and Phil and John Rahm kind of having the conversation about, you know, trying to unify the tours and stuff like that. So hopefully this year, with, you know, another year passing, hopefully we don't see, like, I feel like last year sort of got like pinned against like LIV versus PGA Tour, or Rahm against Koepka. So it'd be nice to just see who the best player is in the tournament at the time, I think, really, right?
Yeah, I think the players now are tired of the harsh back and forth, the in your face kind of stuff. You know, Greg Norman saying that the LIV players are going to storm the 18th green if a LIV golfer wins. Just the us versus them. I mean, these guys hang out together when they're at home, and they're, you know, it's mostly either in Jupiter, Florida, or it's Phoenix. And it's not, you know, Brooks and Rory play practice rounds together or play fun rounds together all the time. And it's built up now, though, I think, to the point where the golfers just want to find some kind of a solution. That's easier said than done. And it's easier. It's sort of a little bit two-faced if you're a guy who just took $60 or $70 or $80 million. And now you're saying, oh, we should all get back together and just, you know, play golf again. Well, you know, you took the money, you're sort of sitting over there, and that's where you should be. So it's going to be a while, I think, before anything gets settled on this, from what I've been hearing and talking to some of the guys who are on the player advisory committee, that there's no rush now because they've got the $3 million the PGA Tour does from SSG, which is the group of sports team owners, basically, that have funded the PGA Tour's new for-profit enterprise. So they don't have quite the pressure on them to go to the negotiating table. As my grandfather used to say, usually in negotiations, the guy with the most money wins. So we'll see what happens.
So, Bob, I know we only got you for a couple more minutes, but what's your favorite part of the tournament? Your favorite part of the week when you're kind of going down there, whether it's, you know, representing with TSN or if it's just kind of getting to check things out?
Yeah, it's walking around. It's seeing a golf course that is, you know, I still don't take it for granted, whether it's 28 or 29 times. I love walking around there. I love following the Canadians. I love that practice round group of the four of them out there. And generally there's a bunch of Canadian fans following them. I love the fact that, and this is something that people may not even sort of think about, but, you know, this is the one tournament where the only people inside the ropes are the caddies and the players. There's no cameras. There's no other people walking along. The media aren't allowed in there. So it's a very clean look when you see it down there. The course is kept in beautiful nick. And I just love the fact that it really, I think for Canadians anyway, certainly kicks off the golf season in most parts of the country. Some lucky places they play all year, but for most of us, it's the start of the golf season. And this is kind of the tournament where, you know, what has happened everywhere on that course. You know, if you go down to 16, you know, who's made a hole in one, or if you go to 12, you remember that's where Jordan Spieth dunked it in the water. If you're standing on the 10th tee, that's where Rory snapped it into the cabins. And so there's just so much history on this one golf course and this one piece of land that makes it really special.
I don't know why this popped into my mind, but I remember Bryson calling it a par 68. And then,
yeah,
I think he was on the first tee. Off the first tee, he's like in the right hand rough. And he's like,
didn't shoot like 73 or something.
Yeah, it was just not a good look. And everybody's like, so he's plus +9 on the day, I guess. But Bob, can you, before we let you go, can you set a competitive line on the over under for the egg salad sandwiches consumed by yourself and Graham Dillette this year?
I think last year I got to 13. I don't know if I can break that record. I have to, the key is to start early. So you have to get going on Monday. Like Monday is Monday and Tuesday are key days. I think I got to have like maybe 6 or 7 by the time that's done. So on Tuesday night, we'll see what happens. But yeah, I'll keep you guys tallied or keep you guys up to date on the tally, and maybe I'll post it up on social media. We'll just keep it going.
Yeah, we'll get a live tracker going.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I love the science behind it too. I think last year we got talking about how you were doing a lot of running and training and stuff like that. So, you know, you could handle a little bit more carbs and stuff. I just love the science behind it. That's so good. But yeah, if you could, we would love the tracker if you're kind of having one, or if you can, I know you guys pinned it up on the board. So maybe snap a photo if you remember, if you have time.
We'll do that.
Bob, I know you got another one coming up in a few minutes, so really appreciate your time. Enjoy Augusta. If you need an assistant by chance, like Bryce or I are both available, or if you need one for next year, let us know and we'll be there. Happy to do what
you'll
we
be,
can.
You'll be. I'll tell you this: you'll be on the list. I can't guarantee you you'll be first on the list, but you'll be on the list. It's a long one.
I'm sure. I'm sure the list is 2,000 or 3,000 people deep. But Bob, thanks again. Enjoy the tournament.
Bye bye.